793 Travel Portland 2014 presentation.
Good morning and welcome, Mr. Miller.
Good morning. Let me see if we can get the presentation up. Good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. First, let me introduce Tim Ackman from Alaska Airlines, who is our current board chair this year. And
welcome.
Many of our board members are here and staff members, so we wanted to have them here to be at the presentation. You know, today's presentation is a lot about vision. And led by our board of directors in 2011, we knew that the tourism industry was facing some uphill challenges. Coming out of the recession, jobs had been lost, and we knew that we had to take charge. Over the course of that year, with Commissioner Saltzman's leadership, we formed the Tourism Improvement District, which is a 2% fee on hotel rooms with 50 rooms or more. It was signed in July of 2012, and the collections began in October of that year. And this wasn't the first time the industry had stepped forward. The Visitors Development Initiative was formed by the rental car companies and the hoteliers to expand the convention center, do the Civic Stadium upgrades, and some worked at Portland's five theaters. And this agreement was just renegotiated, and so with great leadership from this council, the county commission, and Metro Council. The additional monies realized from the renovation or the refinance of the OCC bonds going to the Visitors Development Fund, which Commissioner Saltzman and Fritz sit on, really allowed us to be more flexible and think bigger about adding more conventions to our calendar. You're going to hear some of those results today and how we've deployed those funds, but also how we look to the future and how this industry will bring more economic impact and jobs to Portland. As you know, the lodging tax collections over the past 3 years have been in the double digits. So with great leadership from Metro Council President Hughes, this council, and the County Commission, we will soon have a new Hyatt Regency across from the Convention Center, which we're very excited about. And no matter the opposition's assertions, this hotel will drive more conventions, bigger conventions to Portland, and fill all hotels. Our board has adopted the mantra, how will we act like a Tier 1 city? How does San Francisco market? How does Las Vegas market? Not that we want to be those cities, but how do we think big like that, and how do we do more and better?
Before you go on, let me give Commissioner Saltzman a chance to make some opening comments as well.
Oh, well, I think it's fine. Jeff, you're doing a great job. I've just had the pleasure of representing the city on the Travel Portland Board of Directors, and as Jeff is saying, indeed, it's been a good couple of years. And part of the discussion today will also involve Susan Hartnett of the Office of Management and Finance and Jeff to talk about developing better metrics to measure the impacts of the tourism, travel and tourism industry on our city. So I don't know, Susan, if you want to come up now or you wait. Okay. Great.
Thanks, Dan.
Terrific. I wanted to start, this will not be a presentation of big numbers and lots of charts and graphs, but I did want to start with sort of the landscape of the three county impacts of tourism, $4.26 billion, which is a 4.2% increase, jobs up 2.6%, and an increase in tax collections of 5.9%. So we're very proud of how big the industry is and how it affects everyone. Over the last 3 years, lodging taxes up 11.6%, 10.3%, and 12%, and you know that from your 5% collections. We've never seen 3 years of this kind of increase in the history of what we've been able to do.
Year over year.
That's year over year. Mm-hmm. So that indeed does compound. And I want to thank the council for being very forward-thinking with Airbnb and working to collect their taxes. I was just at a conference with them and talking. Portland is front and center again on being sort of innovative and thinking about that, and we're excited to have our 1% of that so that we can work more closely with them. We think there's a big opportunity with Airbnb. And there's a lot on this slide, but really this tells you over the course of the last 3 years that every part of the city indeed did benefit from the growth in lodging taxes. The pink is TID hotels or City of Portland hotels, and you can see each part of the city did very, very, very well.
So the TID is everybody, right?
Right, everybody. And then each part of the city then from that. We do also know that this will taper off in the future. At this conference also, Smith Travel is looking at the addition of new lodging properties, and we think this will taper off. So 6% is what we have in our budget for this fiscal year in terms of growth. You know, one of the most important places that we invest our funds are in media relations, and we know we have to get a lot of buzz from earned media. And we do this in a lot of very many different ways. We invested in a New York PR firm this year in a very focused manner and have a PR manager managing that and talking to those big national publications. We have a strategy always, and these are our key themes. You can, And that keeps going backwards. Culinary is at the base of everything that we do. But also City of Makers is something, a story that's very well told. And it wants to keep
just
going forward. And this is a video that Wieden Kennedy did for us with the for the winter campaign. I'll show that now. Fun to have Wieden Kennedy do this, and the train ran from Vancouver, BC to Eugene from November through March. And with this video online, you can hover over each of the things in the video and see where to buy it in Portland. It was a huge press coup, and we did the kickoff in Seattle, Sunset Magazine, many others were there. So it was pretty amazing. And again, some statistics on the value of the media work we've been doing. And I think the most important number here really is 998 placements. And those are large and small placements, but each one of them is very, very important. For every dollar that we spend at Travel Portland on media, 879 people had the opportunity to see a positive media coverage about Portland. And at the front, you've got an Alaska Airlines magazine that has an article on Portland. There's one there for you to pass around. The value was over $43,000 and $107,000 in circulation. The cover of Seattle Met during our winter campaign, obviously very, very important for us at that time period. Food and Wine, July of 2014. Having this kind of coverage in one of the most important culinary magazines in the country is just phenomenal. Over $600,000 in print and online value, and over 5.9 million people had the opportunity to see this. And that what's important also about this is that there's a regional message. It's not Portland, but what you can do in and around Portland. And we find working with our partners very, very important. Travel and Leisure, probably the most important travel, it is the most important travel magazine. Our definitive guide to Portland, very cool. Over $1 million in ad value and over 12 million circulation, and each of you have one of those. There's a couple of Hemisphere magazines up there, which is United Airlines in-flight magazine, a value of over $450,000 and 646,000 circulation. So you can see that this earned media is very, very valuable as we build the brand of Portland around the country and certainly around the world. Meetings and Convention magazine, you know, part of our job is to make sure that we keep the buzz up on our convention center and why this is a great place to hold your meeting, and this is sort of an example of that. And when I talk about each department's program of work, we really do try and coordinate our messaging throughout. So when the international team is in Europe doing what they do and the PR team, when we have a convention that has international delegates that may come to Portland, having that buzz in those countries gets that delegate really excited about coming here, and they're more apt to make that decision, which really just spreads the brand of Portland. Which moves us into the convention sales and services program of work. We currently have 102 conventions on the books with 334,000 room nights committed those are on the books into 2022. And that's $200 million worth of economic impact to businesses in the city. That's not just hotels, but to all businesses. We're pretty excited about what this looks like now and what it will look like for the future. Certainly, we have a plan for the convention hotel marketing. We've lost over 300 pieces of business because of hotel package or lack of convention center hotel. So we have a plan in place ready to go the first time the shovel hits the ground Our team will be deployed out into those markets and those pieces of lost business, and we will work very hard to make sure that we fill up not only the Hyatt, but all other hotels downtown. Legos. Who doesn't like Legos? And at the front, you have a box, I think it's a Commissioner Saltzman's desk, of Legos. This is a Max Train in front of the OCC. It's inside comes instructions. These were sent to over 700 meeting planner and clients, and there will be 5 different mailings to keep Portland top of mind. This is the first time a destination has done this, and we're really excited. The next is the food cart. You'll see on the screen in front of you. We have Wine Country, the Chinese Garden, and a beer pub. You've got to have a beer pub. You'll also see in at your desk, it shows the directions for making the Max Train. But if you look inside, really the messaging is about Portland and meetings in Portland. So we really are tying this directly to our work on the convention side. And the initial reaction to this has been nothing short of phenomenal on social media. We've gotten calls, text. People are so incredibly excited that we did something innovative and top of mind. And we've even got a picture of a man's grandkids, which you gave it to, and they're at the coffee table making their Max Train. So this has got a lot of legs to it. And over the course of several months, as I said, there'll be 5 of these out there. We're pretty proud of this, and Grady Britton, their local firm, helped us with this.
And you send those to meeting planners? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 700 meeting planners are on our list, and they'll get a steady drumbeat of these, and with follow-up certainly from our team, talking about their next meeting and how do we get that meeting to Portland. So we thought it was pretty innovative.
Commissioner Fish is the one of us that has a child that might enjoy this. I'm going to put in his spot.
There you go.
With the instructions.
Yeah, better have the instructions.
We'll try and get
him. The child won't need the instructions, but we would.
We'll try and get him some of the others, too. As you know, we hosted SGMP, the Society of Government Meeting Planners, and it was the first opportunity that we'd had to host a meeting of meeting planners, and they were here in May of this year. You'll see this is their national magazine, Portland, prominently featured on the front. The welcome from Mayor Hales in the magazine, and Commissioner Saltzman came with me to do the welcome with that group and did a terrific job. These groups are really very, very excited to have the participation of the elected officials there, and it does mean a lot to them, especially a group like the Society of Government Meeting Planners. And next, I'm going to play a short video, which we put together for SGMP, but we are able to customize it to any convention coming to Portland. But this is played at their convention the year before to get excited about Portland, and then is embedded on websites and sent out as an email. And we usually play that at twice the sound, so that it really gets people buzzed up and going. So
that's great.
On video. Collaborate was another meeting of meeting planners that we were able to host. We had the kickoff at OMSI. I believe Commissioner Fritz was there. Mayor Hales, you did the welcome, and they were very, very impressed with that and with Portland. And we could not have done either of these meetings without the additional funding into the Visitors Development Fund. That is such a key opportunity for us for the future to really seed this meeting business, and we're working very, very hard to do that. I think one of the things that I'm most excited about is our plan to attract more multicultural business. 3 years ago, we did a meeting planner survey of multicultural meeting planners. This last year, we hired back Tamara Kennedy Hill as our Director of Community Relations because we needed someone on the team who was dedicated to developing the strategy and implementing our efforts across the agency. The entire strategy here is really to bring more minority and multicultural business to Portland, and to make sure that we have more local minority businesses that can provide goods and services to these and to all conventions. And that's a really key thing for us. At the end of the day, our job is to make sure that that economic impact happens in businesses large and small, and we have a very focused effort on the minority community, both those meetings that we want and how we'll affect business here in Portland. We think it's a key pillar of what our strategy this year. You'll see here that some of the metrics that we're using, bookings, leads, and lost business, and you can see we've had some success there. But these aren't the only metrics that we're looking at. We'll have some baseline activities that we'll look at and sort of how we do there, but also the barometers of what are the other program of work activities, stakeholder engagement with community leaders, minority partner tracking and involvement, and marketing projects. So we have a very robust program here that we'll continue to report back on. These are some of the trade shows that we do. Congressional Black Caucus, Roy J. helps us with in Washington, D.C. This year, again, we'll take Reverend Hardy and Commissioner Smith and many others back to meet with meeting planners, and we throw a big event there. And lots of other events that we go to, Network of Latino Meeting Planners and many others. Local programs, we've really started our efforts to engage the local community with targeted trainings on how to partner with Travel Portland and also brown bag discussions to bring more people to the table. Our key goals here are really to expand awareness of the travel industry and how they can plug into that economic engine, and we're here to help them do that and make sure that we do a good job of that. We also have some other goals, which are future workforce opportunity and youth awareness programs by partnering with groups like REAP. So it's a multi-prong approach. We've partnered with Supublico for the past 3 years to develop the multicultural content on our website, and they do that through all of the different community newspapers so that we have the most relevant, up-to-date information from each of those communities. And our job really is to help people come to Portland and find their community, whatever that may be. Supublico is also working in conjunction with the Multicultural Advisory Committee of ours, which is local leaders like Roy J., Ray Leary, Gail Castillo, Jamie Lim, and many others. They're creating some video assets and some printed promotional pieces that we'll use in the market to attract more of that business. And they've also developed a hashtag, that's my PDX, to be used in a better job of reaching those people as they come here. We are co-sponsoring the Fall Mega Mixer with the 20 chambers and business associations, along with the Asian Pacific chambers, and we think that's very important so that we can find those local vendors and bring them into the fold at Travel Portland to be a part of our solution for meeting planners. We see that as our mandate. These are some of the minority bookings that we have. This represents over 2,900 room nights and $857,000 worth of economic impact. So we are making headway there. On the international front, we have Billy Moser, who was with Travel Oregon for many years, and she's our new Vice President of Tourism Sales. And that team is doing a really terrific job. These are the markets that we're in and focusing on, and you'll see that we have a pretty broad range of places that we want to make sure we're attracting those visitors from and really telling the Portland story and selling the Portland brand. I won't go through all of these numbers, but as you can see in each of those markets, we've got a robust program with a lot of fam tours, a lot of companies that are represented, and certainly itineraries. Most of the world uses tour operators much more than Americans do, but having 480 opportunities for folks around the world to find a trip through Portland, either individual travel or group travel, is really key to us. And each of these markets, Oceania in particular, has come on very, very strong. So that New Zealand, Australia, interestingly, has really embraced the Portland story.
Jeff, could you explain what a FAM tour is?
Yes. So when we bring in those tour operators, we call it a familiarization tour, be it tour operators or meeting planners. And we show them the breadth of Portland in dinners. We take them on wine country tours. We really show them the hotel packages, the businesses that they can partner with, and make those business connections. So it's a great opportunity for people to see how it can work for them in Portland. This is the cover of Elle Japan, which had a 97-page insert on Portland. You see there to the right. And it went right. It went to 90,000 subscribers in Japan, which is a very key demographic for us. When this showed up on Travel Oregon's Facebook page, when we put it out there, it had over 4,700 hits the first week, the most that Travel Oregon's ever had. And we partner with Travel Oregon very closely there. Having a 97-page insert out there is a pretty big deal. Also at the front, I think Commissioner Saltzman has the True Portland Guidebook. This came a couple of weeks later, and it's subtitled The Unofficial Guide for Creative People. It was commissioned by us with Media Surf Japan. In addition to the financial support, we helped them on the ground with their legion of staff, local hires for field work, and then later editing the book and its companion mini insert guide. Through pre-orders on Amazon.jp, it was the number one selling guidebook in Japan for 2 weeks and still continues to be a big seller. 10,000 copies were initially printed, and there's a second printing that's getting ready to happen. And you'll see Gregory Gourdet from Departures. We took him with us to Tokyo, and he did cooking demonstrations and book kickoffs, and they really were really embraced not only the food but also the guidebook. And we're pretty proud of that, and the PDC is actually working with us and using this guidebook in some of their work. So we really tried to extend our economic development opportunities there. A couple of examples of New Zealand and tour guides, and you can see the Jupiter, Hilton, Benson Hotel all benefited from this, and that's what we look like in some of those. We work very hard with them. And not only have we invested in convention meeting planners with SGMP and Collaborate, but also in the international and domestic tour development. The National Tour Association is hosting CONTACT, a yearly educational meeting here in Portland, and it's tour operators from North America, and this year a very large contingent from China, which we see as a huge market growth for us. And this is the first time that we've had the opportunity to host these kind of meeting planners, and along with Travel Oregon, we'll host them around the city and around the state, and there's about 100 of them that are very influential and may not have had the opportunity to be in Portland before. So we know that this is huge for us. The opening event will be at Ponzi Vineyards, and the closing will be at the Jupiter Hotel. So again, we're showing those international tour operators a little flavor of what we do.
I'm glad you're teaching them the Oregon Ducks sign.
Absolutely. And you can see in that last slide that we have a food cart in our trade show booth that we take with us. So we're pretty excited about that. Winter campaign with Wyden and Kennedy. Beer, obviously, is one of the pillars, along with shopping, tax-free, of course, and the culinary message. And this chart really shows why we chose November through March as our target time period. The hotels need the help, and frankly, other businesses in Portland need the help, too. And you'll see that this is demand or room sold during each of these months. And you'll notice during the November through March time period, we are well ahead of where we were last year. So we felt like we made some inroads with that campaign. The winter campaign, the center of it was an anthem created by Wyden and Kennedy, and it was then turned into 30-second TV spots, one-minute TV spots. It played in cinemas up in Seattle, Vancouver, BC, and other places. It's online. And the person who sang before, her name is Luz Alinda Mendoza, and she was with the band Ilabamba and with the Tiburones and became one of the many faces of Portland that we put out there to tell our story. And here's the anthem.
Yeah.
got all of our pillars in there, and interestingly, Luce wrote that song specifically for us. And one funny tidbit is the bicyclists were actually going to be the naked bike riders, but the laws in Canada are much different than ours, and they would not even allow the backsides in Canada, so we dress them up.
Good choice.
Here's how some of this lived out of home on the bus sides. Ferry terminals at the light rail stations in Seattle. Here's the outside of the train as we did the press. You know, hotel demand is certainly a good barometer of our success, but we needed to look deeper, and many businesses benefit from those visitor dollars, not just hotels. So we're working with Longwoods International to look at our advertising and understand the incremental visitation that we drove by being in the market, and with MMGY to look at how we change traveler sentiment. We worked with Smith Travel and said, what will happen in this time period if we don't do any advertising? And they said, based on our convention calendar and some other factors, and they said, you'll have a 3.4% increase in the market during that time period. Well, you can see on the right that we actually had a 7.2% increase. And so we really feel like that we hit it out of the park. And again, when we looked at this, we wanted to make sure all parts of the city indeed benefit from our work, and you can see the central city had the lowest, and that was partly because we were off in some convention room nights year to year, so that was also a really big success. When we looked at looking at those, you know, how do we get more heads in beds March through November, we know that advertising has a residual impact, and how do we change the hearts and minds? And you can see here in March of 2014, 26% of residents in the West said they were extremely likely or very likely to visit Portland for a leisure trip during the next 2 years. And this is up from 19% in March of 2013. Mm-hmm. And the percentage of Western residents who say they are not likely to visit Portland dropped from 63% to 55%. So we feel like we're making really good headway there. Last year, we had a $1.1 million campaign that really focused on Seattle and Vancouver in January through March. And you can see the incremental spending that Longwood said happened in that time period that would not have happened without our program was $28 million. And then when the residual effect of that was summer travel because of that advertising, we went up to $45.2 million. We also know that this year's investment was $4 million in those markets, but it included print, cinema, out-of-home advertising, Amtrak. We partnered with Portlandia and IFC to do some ads for us, and we lengthened the campaign for 5 months. So we also went deeper into those two major markets, but went to Yakima, Tri-Cities, Eugene, and Bend also. When the promotion also included an opportunity for wintertime hotel guests to enjoy discounts at more than 65 local businesses, and we have free gifts for them from Portland businesses like Salt and Straw, Danner, and Breakside and Laurelwood Breweries. And this resulted so far in $64.7 million in incremental spending that would not have happened if we weren't in the market. So we're pretty proud of that. We'll get the fall results for the rest of the summer. And this is an ad from the Downtown Marketing Initiative, and I wanted to show it because we did that program of work last year and felt it was very successful. And they're very, very different programs from what Travel Portland does. And this is one of the local ads. And at the same time this was running in Portland, we were running a tax-free shopping message up in Seattle and Vancouver, B.C. to leverage off of this. This ad also ran in Seattle Met, so you have two Portland messages going on at the same time. And we wouldn't have created these funds, this local campaign with lodging dollars, because our charge there is to get those people to come from there to here and stay in a hotel. But we're able to leverage this messaging using TID dollars and certainly other dollars that come from us and amplify this message while we're out in the market. So we felt it was really important. And who forgets the ugly sweater campaign?
Got to watch being photographed and stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
That is ugly.
And I think, you know, these were two of my favorite little sweaters out there. I think Rack did a really nice job for us on that. And it really gave a buzz to downtown, so we were excited about that program. This is the local ad for Dining Month, which we moved actually from June to March so that we could then leverage using those TID funds for out-of-market at the same time and really reinforce that culinary message. And again, this is a program that we would not have created locally with our funding, but DMI, we were able to do that and then leverage in a very big way to those out-of-market. The ad that we did for Out of Market featured Gregory Gorday again. He's been a great partner of ours, and this ran in those other markets for us, and I'll show that now.
Here in Portland, we really know how to treat our food.
Relax. I believe in you.
March is Portland Dining Month. That means more than 100 restaurants are serving our most lovingly prepared three-course meals for $29. Every day of the week, all over town.
Restaurants tell us it was a fantastic March for them. I mean, there was just a huge increase in the business that they did. So we felt like it was not only from locals, which certainly enjoy it in that $29 price point, but our out-of-town visitors too. And with that,
I think this is a good point to bring up Susan.
Yeah. Right, and this is...
talk about our metrics.
I'm done.
Okay.
Great report, Jeff. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Susan Hartnett, Spectator Facilities and Development Manager, Office of Management and Finance. I'm just here to let you know that Jeff and I have started working a bit on making some changes to the exhibit to the current contract to incorporate some of these new metrics that he's been sharing with you today. Jeff introduced us to them probably 6 months or so ago, and he felt and we concurred with him that they were really sharpening the pencil in terms of understanding how Travel Portland's efforts benefit the city and how the city's TLT dollars support that effort. So it made sense to perhaps look at making some amendments to the contract to reflect those new approaches to measuring effectiveness. It will require an amendment to the contract, and I'm here to let you know that if you're interested in doing that, incorporating these into the existing contract, OMF is prepared to work with Jeff to finalize that language and get it in front of you. We would also suggest some minor amendments to the underlying contract as well to provide a little bit of clarity around the ongoing administration of the contract. You may recall that I was here about a month ago concerning other portions of Travel Portland's work that we had to bring to council in order to accomplish a relatively minor contractual amendment. So we would propose just some cleanup on that so it's a little bit clearer for everyone how to move these things forward efficiently rather than taking more of Jeff's time or staff time and more of council's time. So I'm just here to say we're willing to help if you're interested.
I think we're interested.
Yeah, I think we are. That's the kind of feedback we need to get to be able to make the case that this is all working, which obviously it is. Other questions or concerns to raise with either Jeff or Susan? I have one, which is just last week we welcomed the International Amateur Athletic Foundation's track and field event that was in Eugene in 2016. We're having the World Indoor Championship here. I've been a little bit concerned that our international wayfinding and signage and, you know, that we're not as language friendly to the rest of the world as we could be, whether it's at the airport or elsewhere, not just at the airport. So I just want to raise the concern. I raised it with Bill Wyatt, who actually went down to the opening night dinner in Eugene with the team from Portland to welcome Chair Diak and the whole delegation that was here to kick off that athletic event. But it's been just a nagging concern of mine that we're not quite the global city we are perceived to be once someone arrives here whose native language is not English. So both because we're a much more multicultural city than we were 20 years ago and because we have a different relationship with the rest of the world than we had 20 years ago, I think we need to up our game. So I don't have any particular recommendation. I just wanted to raise the issue and maybe continue that dialogue with you, the port, PBOT, you know, anyone else who is in the signing and wayfinding business. Do we have our local app developers developing the Chinese app, the Japanese app, the Spanish language app that the visitor can, with their mobile device, find their way around Portland perfectly and find all the great things that you're marketing? I don't know the answers to all those questions and don't need to know them now, but I want to raise those questions and make sure that we're thinking that through because it's a intergovernmental issue as well as a marketing point for you and you know, and for each of us that are involved in that one way or another.
Good point. We'll have those conversations.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Okay, great report. Thanks very much. Is there anyone else, Dan, that's going to speak on this?
No, I think that was it.
Thank you.
So I'll plan to bring a contract amendment sometime in the next couple of months.
Please.
Okay.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Actually, may I ask just one question? Jeff, as a subscriber to the New York Times, a paper I can actually get delivered 7 days a week, I'm stunned by the number of times that Portland is referenced in the paper, either in the travel section or somewhere else. And do we have any way of knowing how much of an impact that specifically has? Does the New York Times matter, or do all these travel magazines matter more?
It matters a lot because the New York Times is so widely read outside of New York. It matters a lot. And what's interesting is that there are a lot of freelance writers who write for the New York Times that live in Portland. We get the opportunity sometimes to work with them, and often the New York Times, you know, has their own sort of agenda. But we certainly know who those local writers are, and we engage them as often as we can. The national and international publications certainly are also important, but the New York Times is right at the top of that list.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. We have to approve the report,
right? Just a presentation. So thanks very much. Look forward to hearing more from you, and we'll move on to the regular